Our scripture verse this morning comes from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, verses 21 through 38. It's quite long, but it sets the scene for what God wants to say today. When you have it, please say amen. Luke 2, verse 21 through 38. I hear papers, but it's on your screen. Let us read. And when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the laws of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed him and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising against of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thought of my heart may be revealed. That the thought of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher, and she was a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayer night and day. And she was coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. If I was to tag my sermon with a title on this morning, it would be, Some Things Are Worth Waiting For. Many of us have found ourselves in situations where we had to wait for one reason or another. We know during this holiday season of gift giving, there were times we had to stand on long lines in department stores, waiting to pay for items we want to purchase, waiting for a parking space at an overcrowded mall just to be able to go in and look around, hoping we'd find what we were looking for. Then there were other times when we had to wait at the post office, the supermarket, the gas station, the airport with its long lines, but we waited. Our desire to enjoy Christmas, the Christmas celebration, and to bring happiness into someone's life caused us to stay on the long lines and wait it out. Now there are other times in our lives when we had to wait for something. It may not have been a long line or a parking space, but we waited because we should have. We waited for our hard work to pay off. We waited for the right opportunity to present itself. We waited for retirement, that pension, Social Security check. We waited for whatever it is that we needed or desired for our lives. What does it mean to wait? When we wait for one or several things could be going on. We tarry, we linger. We are delayed, we are being in a state of being inactive or relaxed until something happens. Sometimes we wait because we know it's the right thing to do. Sometimes we wait because we have no other choice but to wait. Waiting can be difficult at times. Waiting on the doctor for test results. waiting for a phone call or a letter, praying for some good news. I want to share this brief little story that would kind of set the scene. It's humorous, but it's about waiting. A mother was preparing pancakes for her two sons, Kevin, who was 5, and Ryan, who was 3. The boys began to argue over who would get the first pancake. Their mother saw an opportunity for a moral lesson. If Jesus was sitting here, he would say, "Let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait." Kevin turned to his younger brother and said, "Ryan, you be Jesus today." You see, in these scripture verses we have heard in our reading, we see that there is a great deal of waiting going on. In verse 21, Joseph and Mary had to wait 8 days before bringing the child to the temple for the ceremony of circumcision. It is at this time the child's name would become officially Jesus, the name they were both told by the angel Gabriel to give him, the name Jesus, which means Jehovah saves. In that same verse, we find that they had to wait for the second ceremony, which is the ceremony of the redemption of the firstborn. The teachings tells us when a Jewish family redeems their firstborn, they are acknowledging that this child belongs to God. Although we are not Jewish, we do something similar here in our church. We dedicate our babies to the Lord. God values human life, and he regards consecration and dedication to be very important. God entrusts parents with children as a sacred trust, allowing us to name them, shape them, and send them out. Thirdly, in verse 22, we find the ceremony of the purification, which is for the mother, Mary. Mary had to wait 40 days, according to the laws of Moses, for her purification to be complete before bringing baby Jesus to Jerusalem, to the temple, to present him to the Lord. It is written in the law of the Lord that every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. The first lesson we learn today from these scriptures is how to wait on God. The songwriters wrote a song that says, "He may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is." According, along with these ceremonies, a sacrifice is to be offered to the Lord according to the law. Now, the financial status of Joseph and Mary was such that they had to wait so that they could do everything at once. Secondly, they had to present what they could afford. Joseph and Mary waited the 40 days, bringing Jesus to the Lord when he was 6 weeks with their sacrifice. In the redemption ceremony, the father brings the child to the priest. The mother is not obligated to attend, but often does. The priest holds the child as a ransom until the priest gives the father, until the father gives the priest 5 shekels in place of his son. The priest then returns the child to the father. That's the familiar story that we all know, for we know that Jesus was our ransom for sin, that he was presented by his father to was presented by his father as a ransom for our redemption. You see, along with the 5 silver shekels, the sacrifice of an unblemished lamb was offered. But Joseph and Mary's humble sacrifice was a pair of turtle doves or pigeons. They didn't need a lamb, for the sacrificial lamb was present. Jesus, the Lamb of God, the unblemished, would be the final sacrifice at the appointed time. The Lord allowed his son to be born to parents of a low estate, poor but not destitute, struggling but committed. The Lord knew that many of us would have to wait to do some things, but he has given us grace. The Lord accepted what Joseph and Mary had to give, setting the tone that he would accept us right where we are with what we had. Now that brings us to the revelation revealed in these scripture verses 25 through 28. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took him up in his arms and blessed God. The priest Simeon was just and a devout man and had been told by God to wait for the consolation of Israel, that the time would come when God would send a Savior who would bring relief and support to Israel from the hands of oppression. Rome was the temporary oppressor and sin was the eternal oppressor. Simeon was not only devoted to his call, but he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the anointing of God, was on his life and revealed to Simeon that he would not die, even when he was old, before seeing the Lord's Christ. Simeon, walking in the Spirit of the true and living God, when it was the appointed time for Jesus to be revealed, the Spirit of God led Simeon into the temple, that he would be the priest who would receive Jesus for the dedication to the Lord. There were other priests in the temple that day, but God set it up so that the one that he had revealed the revelation to would be present to witness what God had said he would do. God's son, God's flesh, born in this baby named Jesus, presented for a dedication in the same swaddling clothes he was wrapped in the manger. It may feel like waiting will never end, but one day, when you least expect it, the Lord is going to show up in your situation. It may look that everyone lies if everyone else is being blessed but you, but God has sometimes saves the best for last. It may look like it's an impossible situation, but our God specializes in the impossible. Be faithful to God. Be true to God. Be honest with God. For some things is worth waiting for. Yes, yes. Verse 29 through 32, the Lord says, "Let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen the salvation which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." The second lesson we learn today through these scriptures is how to trust God. All of 2013, women's ministry stood on Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plan I have for you, declares the Lord. Plan to prosper you and to not harm you. Plan to give you a hope and a future." You see, all of Israel was told that a Messiah would come and deliver God's people out of the bondage of oppression. And just not just Israel, but the Gentiles would also see the light of God and receive the gift of salvation. When the Messiah came, the good news, the gospel, would be preached. When the Messiah comes, the brokenhearted would be healed, the captives would be delivered, the blind would see, and the bruised would be set free. Simeon learned how to wait on God. The Greek word for wait is omni, and in this scripture verse, it simply means to endure with confidence and patience. You see, Simeon waited with expectations. He was filled with hope. He waited with patience. He waited with confidence in God. So often in life, we find ourselves in a space and a place of waiting. Waiting for our season to change. Waiting for a special blessing we have been praying for. Waiting for a healing to be delivered from the oppression of one kind or another. Waiting for a job or a financial breakthrough. Waiting for that special someone. Waiting for a change to come into our lives. We see people all around us moving forward. Their hard work paying off. Their dedication to their assignments, moving them to the next level, the next assignment. And we wonder, Lord, have you forgotten about me? The word of God in Isaiah 40:30 and 31 tells us that even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings of eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. The word of the Lord is true, and it is empowering. That's why it's so important that we read it consistently. The word of God reveals to us through the biblical experience of people how we should respond to our own situations. The word of God is a mighty counselor that helps us to find our way through whatever it is we're going through. You see, the people were waiting. so long that their expectations were growing low? Have you waited for something so long that you're getting weary in your waiting? You wonder if God has forgotten about you. You wonder if God is able to bring you through. You're wondering, can it still happen? Well, I stand here to tell you that some things are worth waiting for. God will not fail you. If he has promised it to you, he is well able to bring it to pass. Don't you listen to your friends and your neighbors or even your family. If God said it, he's able to do it. If God promised it, he's able to bring it to pass. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should confess. If he said it, he shall bring it to pass. People were waiting. They were waiting long, that their expectations had grown low. You know Elizabeth and Zachariah, you know them. John the Baptist's parents had given up and was no longer waiting for a child. But you see, God showed up and he showed out and blessed them beyond their own imagination. You too can have an Elizabeth and Zachariah experience. When you think you're too old, when you think it's too late, when you think God has forgotten about you, he will show up and show out. Don't you give up on God, because God has not given up on us. In the midst of our mess, our attitudes, our disobedience, God is still blessing us, waiting for us to get our acts together. Here was Simeon, still waiting, even though it had been prophesied more than 1,000 years earlier, from Genesis to the prophets, that the Messiah would come. 400 years of silence without even a reminder or another confirmation, just silence. Have you ever just been in a place of just silence? And you wonder where God is. God, don't you hear me? Lord, I've been praying and seeking your face. Lord, don't you hear me? But Simeon was waiting for the gift of God, his son. We too, as a people, have struggled for hundreds of years, waiting for our freedom, waiting for real change, waiting for true deliverance. Like Dr. King, I believe that if we don't faint, if we keep on believing that God is no respecter of persons, if we trust God in spite of what it looked like, keep on working, one day it shall come to pass. Dr. King said in his I Have a Dream speech, "Let freedom ring." When this happens, when we allow freedom to ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of that old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God, I'm free at last." We are living in a world full of chaos. Our children are going to and fro, doing things that are not of God. Caught up in the matrix, if you will, in the latest terminology. Caught up in a situation that they're not responsible for. But we gotta keep on trusting God. Keep on believing God. Keep on waiting for God to bring us through. Simeon held on and waited for God, what God had promised. And one day, the salvation of the Lord came to him, wrapped in swaddling clothes to be dedicated to the Lord. As I prayed to get a glimpse of what was going on at that time, the Spirit of God revealed to me as I read these scriptures. Simeon had some days when he did wonder. Simeon had some days when he was looked down upon for what he believed. He had some days when it looked as if time was going to run out on him, but he trusted and waited on God. Simeon endured the hardship. He endured the disobedience of those around him. He endured the apostate within the walls of the temple. Why? Because God said it and he believed God. He waited because he knew God would keep his promise. He waited because he knew that God would show up one day. The day the weeks following the celebration of the birth of Christ, which is Christmas, we find ourselves going back to our normal routine of returning from traveling, back to work, to school, and doing all the things that are normal in our day. You see, it is in these days, these months, these years ahead, we as Christians should continue to celebrate, not with the things of the world, but with worship and in praise. You see, the waiting is over. The King of Kings have come. The Lord of Lords has revealed himself to us. Right now, at this moment, he's affecting change in the lives of his people. 1,000 years to us is but a day to the Lord. And there is no way, there is a way we can do this. Go with me, if you will, to verses 36 and 38. And there was one Anna, the prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayer day and night. And she coming into that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Anna, the prophet, was also in the temple, waiting for the coming of the Messiah. She was of great age, having been married 7 years, widowed 84, and having no children. Anna spent the rest of her life waiting for the promise of God in God's house, the temple. And while she waited, she worked. Anna served God with prayer and fasting day and night. It was her call. Anna, too, was given the revelation of the presence of the Lord, came and gave thanks to the Lord for fulfilling the promise that he made to his people. Anna continued to work even with greater fervence, telling everyone that the one we have been waiting for, the Redeemer of Israel, had come. You see, some things are worth waiting for. Lastly, these scriptures teaches us how to focus on the promise. You see, Simeon and Anna teaches us, though it might not be easy to wait, don't lose heart in the Lord, but be of good courage. Though your way might look a little dark sometimes, wait on the Lord. He has not broken a promise yet. Though the hellhounds may be on your trail, stay the course, for at the appointed time, God will come through. Go into your prayer closet and pray. Turn down the plate sometime and know that God is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Know that the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. Know that what others mean for evil, God will use for your good. Know that God will have the last word. You see, Abraham and Sarah waited for the promise of a son. Isaac waited for the promise of a wife. Jacob waited for the promise of a blessing. Joseph waited for the fulfillment of a dream. Moses waited for God's people to possess the promised land. But Lord, one day, Jesus waited for the appointed time. He came down through 42 generations, born in a manger, waited 30 years to preach and teach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Gave his life as a ransom for humanity, waited on an old rugged cross to die, buried in a borrowed tomb, waited in the corridors between life and death, and on the third day, he rose up with all power in his hand. I don't know about you, but I'm glad today that my Jesus waited. He waited for me. He waited for you. Because he waited, salvation is free. Because he waited, eternal life is our destiny. Because he waited, we have life and we can have it abundantly. Some things are worth waiting for. You and I have to learn how to trust God. We got to learn how to stay focused on God. We got to learn how to wait on God. I don't know about you, but I'm glad. Oh, yes, Lord, I'm glad that you waited for me. You waited to turn my life around. You waited to put my feet on solid ground. You waited, God, you waited. Some things are worth waiting for. Lord will wait. He has waited. He's waited for you, and he's waited for me. He came at the appointed time. He didn't miss a beat. It might have looked like he was late, but he was right on time. It might have looked like he forgot, but he was right there on time. It might have looked like he couldn't do it, but our God is all powerful. He's all knowing, and he's everywhere at all times. There's nothing that God can't do. Whatever your situation may be, whatever you might be going through, know that God is bigger than any situation you could possibly have. As I bring this to a close, there's another little story I just want to cap it off with. There's an old story about a boy who stood on the sidewalk waiting on a bus. A man walked by, spotted the boy, and gave him some gentle instructions. He said, "Son, if you're waiting on the bus, you need to move to the street corner. That's where the bus stop for its passengers." "It's okay," said the boy. "I'll just wait right here, and the bus will stop for me." The man repeated his argument, but the boy never moved. Then the bus appeared. Amazingly, the bus pulled over to where the boy stood, and the boy hopped on. The man on the sidewalk stood speechless. The boy turned around in the doorway and said, "Mister, I knew the bus would stop here because the bus driver is my dad. Jesus is my dad. I don't know about you, but he is our father. He is the one who loves us and cares about us. When we've got a family relationship with the bus driver, who is Jesus. You see, Jesus is driving this bus. You don't need a bus stop. If your mama is the U.S. Senator, you don't need an appointment to slip into the office. If you give your heart to King Jesus, who is the King of Kings, you are in the royal family of unspeakable proportions. You see, he is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. He is your daddy. He is your father. He's the one who makes a way out of nowhere. He's the one that hits you when you're up. He's with you when you're down, when everybody has left you, when nobody understands you. He's the one who knows all about you. Some things are worth waiting for. I don't know about you today, but I believe that some things are worth waiting for. It might not come when you want it, but God, if God is in it, it will be right on time. You're not going to miss that house. You're not going to miss that car. You're not going to miss that job. You're not going to miss that soulmate. God is in the midst of our lives. He loves us. He loves us so much that he gave his life for us. He loves you. He's our Savior. He paid the price so that we might have the right to eternal life.